So this is some good. So let me just do a quick review. So we're in Joshua 6. We're looking at the first verse. Really, we got Dave's like, we're never going to get through this. No, but I just want you to look at this thing. I want you to look at this thing from a historical perspective. Then I want you to look at it from a spiritual perspective and see. So what does any of this mean to us? And so there's different characters in this story, and these people who are in Jericho are unbelievers, and we want to make sure as believers there's not Jericho situations in our life where we believe that we got everlasting life and we believe that, but is there a Jericho situation in my life where I just don't believe God's going to move on my behalf in that thing? When his word says he can do the impossible and all things work together for good. I don't want to, as I'm marching around the walls trying to get to God's best, I want to make sure I don't take a break or a rest area inside Jericho where I'm leaning on myself rather than others. We saw this in the Samson story where the young lion comes after Samson and Samson has nothing in his hand. What do you think happens if Samson has something in his hand? God wouldn't get as much glory because he's going to be relying, and then we'll be sitting out there going, yeah, well, if I had a club, I could take the lion out too. No, he had nothing in his hand, but he had the Holy Spirit, and he knew how to use the Spirit. The Spirit came on him mightily, and what looked like a big problem was handled easily. When you don't have anything in your hand, you've got nothing else that you can do except trust in God.
Rely on God.
I was at Kingdom Seeker. I was giving the Wednesday Bible study. We were looking at Hezekiah. And Hezekiah got a bad prognosis from the doctor. Said, you're about to die. Hezekiah turns to the wall. So that the only thing he can focus on is God. And God heard his prayer. He didn't know God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer, gave it to Isaiah before he came. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole different lesson. I just want to. Oh, and Paul just said something very good here. He said, it's not that God can't do it sometimes. I just don't want to wait for him to do it in his time. So let's see, because that comes up in this story. So I know it's the walls of Jericho. I know we all know the story or whatever. But what does it really mean? So, because here's why I want us to do this for our new folk or whatever. Anybody want what the children of Israel got? Victory. Well, if we do what they did, maybe we'll get what they got. All right, so that's enough of that. Let's keep going. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Okay, so what does God want Joshua to see? That's the question I'm asking all y'all. Anybody on Zoom, everybody, you know, what does God want you to see?
Well, he can give Jericho into his hands.
But he's asking him to see it before it actually happens.
Yeah.
Believe it without see,
see it,
but...
Does he have the victory right now?
Not yet.
It hasn't been manifested. But God says,
you got it.
So God's answer sometimes are yes, no, and not yet.
True. Yep. Yes, no, not yet. In this case, he says yes. Why is it important for, I think you already answered, why is it important for God? God must really want Joshua to see it or see something so that he's got more than just the word to encourage him.
He knew where he was. He knew what he needed.
Okay.
Are
you saying God knew exactly where Joshua was?
Yes.
And that Joshua was in a position by faith to take Jericho? And God says, do you see what has happened up until this point? Oh, I just said something. Do you see what has happened up until this point? Did Joshua already know in advance that God was giving him this?
Yes.
How do you know? Because he told him. So God gave him a word and said, victory, and this is your best is in front of you. All right? Now he gets to the point where, you got a little work, got a little opposition, got something standing in the way. The walls in Jericho is standing in the way of the promises of God. And God says to Joshua, do you see what's been happening up to this point in time? That should give you encouragement that the word is working, even though you still don't have it yet.
He's trying to get Joshua to feed on the faithfulness from the past to march him into the future.
The past faithfulness from God, which is the current blessing that he has right now, but see that, and then you'll be able to get past what you have to do to make it all the way in to his best. Question, application for today.
Hope.
Has God given us some hope in something?
Yes.
Are we expecting God to move in our life in a particular area?
Yes.
Do we have it yet? Perhaps not.
No.
But do you see evidence that his word is working?
Yes.
Can you look at your right now situation and go, I see some things happening that can only be God, and I ain't got it yet, but I'm kind of encouraged that I'm going to stay. Let me give you an example with the prison ministry. So with the prison ministry, I got the little website thing going, and I don't know. I mean, that's just the Lord, because I just learned how to start asking Google for stuff.
Really?
Boy, I know you did not just sit up there. Okay, your wife is hitting you, telling you. All right, so I'm gonna let that slide because that's funny. I'm gonna let that slide because it was just about a month or so ago that I decided I'm gonna ask Google how to get a phone number, how to get to some place or whatever, and I don't do it enough. I still got to think about it just to figure out how to ask Google what to do. And yet, I am a website administrator for the entire state of Alabama Department of Corrections online training website. People come to the kid to ask the kid, all right, how to get online and do their training.
Right.
Now, if you don't see God doing something, there's this prison ministry that does Angel Tree. You might have heard Angel Tree before.
Yeah.
Now, they're expanding Angel Tree to do more than just give out presents during Christmas time. They're expanding Angel Tree to be year-round football camps, things like that. So they contact me for some reason, like I know something about football camps, and said, hey, we're talking to you because we need to know how to get on the website to do some training. So I helped them get on the training website. We start having another conversation about football camps. I said, you know what? There was an inmate at Maxwell who was in my Bible study class. He's out now. He's got his own ministry. He's friends with a bunch of football players that used to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they run football camps and ran football camps for Peyton Manning. I put them in touch with my friend who put him in touch with the ex-football players, one of them Michael Clayton or whatever, I think.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I find out later, because I ain't heard anything, I find out later they want to do 15 football camps in this doggone region and might do one here in Montgomery. It ain't been manifested just yet, but all of a sudden I'm looking at the story and it says, do you see what's happening? Do you see how I position you and how things are happening in your life that can only be from me? Is it possible that this thing might blow up into something great, and that my best days of prison ministry might be in front of me? I'm encouraged. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to keep doing it because I'm encouraged based upon what I've seen. Instead of looking at the Instead of looking at the negative, the wall, the problem that seems too big for you to overcome, focus more on the blessings and what you already have.
Speak life.
All right. I'm spending too much time on this. We got to get going. It's almost 10 o'clock. We only got 15 more minutes with...
Well, the thing is, if you've got the Lord, if you've received the Lord as your Savior, then you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got everything you need. It's just a matter of really believing that and walking in it.
Amen. You got what you need. God doesn't have to do anything else. but for you to get in a position and allow him to continue to go take you the rest of the way.
Joshua, I believe he already knew he had a victory before he went in.
He knew it because God told him.
Right.
But I like what I like what she said though.
But what he just said is what I think he needed. Jimmy Smith, what did he say? He needed confidence.
Oh yeah.
He said he needed confidence.
Oh, I thought he said he needed coffee. He was sitting back there in the back. I didn't know what, he needed
coffee. All right.
So he saw where Joshua was, and he wanted to give him some further confidence.
Yeah.
So God knows. So here's the Bible study. God knows what we need, too. He knows sometimes we need to see that he's been working this thing.
Well, it's like we talked about with Gideon. How many times did Gideon go back and forth to get what he needed?
Two or three times.
And do what God had called him to do.
Do this trick with the fleece.
Yeah.
Okay, do this trick. Don't get mad. Do this trick with the fleece. I still believe in you, but I just need a little extra because you asked me to do a lot.
You know. The disciples, when Jesus came back to life, they saw him, but yet he stood there and he said, I think that he came back and appeared to them. He breathed on them, the Holy Spirit. He was confident.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you got doubting Thomas. I don't care what the word said. I don't care. I know he's preaching, but I don't care. It's impossible. It ain't going to happen. Y'all been doing drugs or some kind of funny mushrooms out there or something like that or whatever. I don't know what's going on, but until I see him and stick my finger in his hole or whatever, I ain't. Yeah. Blessed be those that believe and have not seen. Amen. Okay. All right, I got some highlights there in my notes. God wants Joshua to know that he's already has it before he actually enjoys it. This allows him to do what? Exercise greater faith. All right. Oh, there was something else that I wrote down here yesterday. And I highlighted it. Based upon what he saw, he should have confidence that it was already a done deal. Based upon, focus on the positive and not the obstacle. Focus on God and not the mountain. I will look unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord when you're in the valley. Alright? Focus on that, because if you focus on the problem's going to look insurmountable. The problem will discourage you. The problem will say, ooh, this is too big. I need to take a break at Jericho. Give me some rest. All right.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey.
Didn't Moses tell Joshua all about this in Deuteronomy? He told him about what God was going to do.
They heard what was going to happen. Moses heard what was going to happen back in Exodus. Because it was always God's plan to bring them into his best, the land of milk and honey. But yes, the answer to your question is that's true. So, but we know this. Everybody know Jeremiah 29. I know the plans that I have for you to prosper and you'll be great, huh? So we know that God has great plans for us. Amen?
Amen.
So then it ain't God, so what's the problem then? Okay, let me just keep going. You see, everybody talking about Israel. Israel's so stupid. Israel is just so stupid. They don't get it. They got God walking with them. They got this, they got that, or whatever. How can they be so stupid? How can they not believe him? Yeah, we do the same thing. Come on. In fact, we're worse because we got their testimony. All right. I want you to make sure, and this is where this will keep you out of this will help keep you out of Jericho. Notice, it is not Joshua who gets this victory. Look at the scripture. Who's going to get the victory? God gets the victory and gives it to him. Is that what? Let me go back to what the word said. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. That should encourage you. Which means you don't have to do this. All you have to do is get in position by faith and then let him do what he do. The problem is, We get in the way of the do. And then you wind up with do-do. Anyway, let me keep going.
All right.
I can't tell you that was the spirit on that one. I'm just going to tell you. Right. Pick your feet up because you're going to wind up walking in the mess, all right, because you ain't walking. When you ain't walking by faith, you're going, all right, let's keep going. All right. Verse 3. And ye shall compass or surround the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do for 6 days. Six is the number of man. Effort. The role we play. 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the ark. 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend, every man straight before him. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit because that's really, the gist of the chapter here. And then we can move on to the next thing. Maybe. There's a lot of gobbledygook in here that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I usually just kind of read right through it and let's get to the good part. When the walls fall down and the killing starts. Yes. But you got to get through this part before you can get to the good part. So let's analyze this part here. All right. Seven here, 7 times. All right, so here's what they're saying. All right, every day for 6 days you're going to walk around this city. One time, you ain't going to say a word. Just walk around one time, and then you come on back. Do it in the morning, and then you come on back. On the 7th day, the last day, you're going to march around the city 7 times. So you're going to do a little extra on the last day. Then you blow the trumpet, you're going to shout, and the wall's going to come down. That's simple instructions. All right. I got a question there. Could God have given them Jericho on day one?
Yeah.
I'm speculating here, but there's some reasons why God might have waited for 7 days. And I know I got it further down in my notes, but let's kind of talk about it right now. Give me some idea why you think, I hate getting opinions, but let's just do it anyway. What happens if they go through a 6-day process? Why not the first day? Who's marching around the city?
Believers.
What came to my mind is he's breaking down not just physical walls, he's breaking down spiritual walls.
He's breaking down spiritual walls.
Mm-hmm. He's increasing their faith.
He's increasing somebody's faith. Well, he must be increasing the faith of the people that are marching, but he's also given an opportunity. When I looked at this, I thought about 1 Peter. God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. For 6 days, people are seeing them march around. And they're seeing God's mercy because the people of God ain't saying nothing about them. Come on, church people. Come on, Pharisees up in here. They ain't saying, heathens, unbelieving, idol worshiping, drug sniffing, the healing, demon possessed, bipolar demon, whatever, that stuff ain't, you're going down. They just kept their mouth shut and they just with the presence of the Lord in their midst.
Amen.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
6 days they looked at this.
Yeah. They made themselves available.
They made themselves available and gave the people in the city the opportunity to do what Rahab was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Believing in the Word.
Well, could it also be a test of their faith too?
Test of whose faith?
The Israelites.
A test of the Israelites' faith?
Marching. Is it like, if he had done it on the first day instead of waiting, then, on the first day, the people are getting tired or whatever, and then they're questioning, well, how long is it going to take, this and that? Do I really have to wait 6 days? That kind of thing.
Well, I think that goes back to...
Well, they know what happened in the past when they didn't do what they're supposed to do.
Well, yeah. I think that goes back to what you said.
Because can't you just play it out in your mind? Okay, the Israelites and the people on the other side of the wall, the Israelites are like, okay, we're going to march around the first day, we're going to be quiet, and we're going to do it, blah, 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 blah. The people on the inside of the wall are thinking, what are them fools doing? They're just walking around that darn wall today. And then the second day, the Israelites, man, we got to walk around that wall.
But they
but
know.
The inside's like, man. And eventually, over the days, the people inside of the wall are like, there's some folks with faith. Their God must really mean something. Mm-hmm. And the Israelites are anticipating the seventh day getting closer and closer and closer. And this wall's fixing to come down, and we're going to finally get our promise.
There's a lot of things that's going on here, and I want to get this out before Kingdom Seeker signs off in 4 minutes. Because imagine yourself being inside Jericho. And you heard, and you know, according to Scripture, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. You know God's judgment is coming. You know it's coming. You just don't believe in God for your salvation to get out of it.
Yes.
And you know it's coming. And day one comes, and it's at your doorstep. But it doesn't hit you. Either you're going to believe, or you're going to go, ooh, I dodged a bullet. Let me go one more day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep going. Come on now. You keep waiting. I'm going to hold out one more day. Just one more day. God still didn't drop the hammer on me yet. You know what? If I hold out long enough, these walls might repel what... Now all of a sudden, not only do you not believe in God, but you don't believe in God's word or plan that your judgment is coming. That's a dangerous situation to be in. Either you're going to take those 6 days to come to the Lord and surrender and believe, or you're going to take them 6 days to entrench yourself and do, you know what? God's word may not come to pass in my particular situation. I think I can escape this.
That's how we are right now.
And the people on the outside of the wall know it's only 7 days, but the people on the inside of the wall don't know it's 7 days, do they?
No, they don't. Hold on. And God's people don't know it's 7 days yet either. Because Joshua, we ain't gone to the next set of scripture yet. But let me go back to where I think Jeremy just asked the question. Hey, this is also going to increase the faith of the people that are marching. And I think it does. But this is the key. How many of us as Christians tired of marching?
Fired up, now ready to get in there.
Hey! My doggone feet hurt. I've been walking around this thing and I was ready to go. We got microwave Christians. I raised my hand. I'm one of them microwave Christians. I want my stuff quick, fast, and in a hurry.
I
want it now. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Name it and claim it. So, Jeremy, that's a good question. If you don't follow the instructions, you don't get the blessing. We suffer through this in our nation right now, where people want right now, right now, right now, right now. God says, you run out there if you want to. There's a time. We know. Oh, my God. This is where the body of Christ really needs. There's an expiration. We know, according by faith in God, that there's an expiration date on trouble. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But if you run out there in darkness at night, you might stub your toe. Mm-hmm. So we know there's an expiration date on trouble. We know there's an expiration date on this. And do we want to rush the expiration date before morning? No. By faith, I know that I'm through this. So that's a big question. Because Paul brought it up. Hey. And here, I think I got it in my notes. I'm just going to go outside my notes or whatever. It's wonderful to be encouraged and hear God's word on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But are you still encouraged and obeying God's word on
Monday? Tuesday.
Well, heck, some of us are better than that. Some of us might make it all the way to Friday or Saturday. But the walls ain't coming down until next Sunday. I got to be able to last. And I don't think that Christians have enough staying power sometimes because they lose sight of what, either they get impatient or they go, I know what he said, and I walked around once, and I don't see a change in my situation right now. In fact, the people inside the wall are laughing at me and making fun of me.
But God encourages us daily.
Oh, my goodness. Son just said, God encourages us daily. All right, Kingdom Seeker, I have notes on this. We'll hook up next week. All right. How do I... Well, here's the question. Go back to Jeremy. Go back to Paul. How do I ensure that I make that daily march?
With the verse 3, it says, all you men of war. Is that saying, like, you know, get your brothers, go with, somebody falls down, you know, you carry it with you. Is everyone's everybody?
It's nice to bring somebody else along with you, but, you know, you really can't bring anybody else along with you unless you got God, and unless you got your thing together with God first. So this is one of those follow the steps. How often should we pick up our cross?
Daily.
So every day we need to remember that we need to be humble. We need to repent. Repent of what?
Sin.
The sin of not believing, or the sin of disobedience that says, I marched yesterday, I ain't marching today. Mm. I'm going to change my mind about what I want to do, and I'm going to continue to put my hope in the word and the promise of. That's what it means when you sing that song. Standing on the promises of Christ our King. We don't sing it enough, so I don't remember the things that swing. Standing on the promises. That's what it means to stand on the promises of God. I'm doing it every day. And I ain't that good. Sometimes I got to do it moment by moment. I can just look at Al and say, I need to go back and stand on the promises of God again.
Chuck, you referenced Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody
yes.
knows that.
Yes.
But you know the rest of the story of that is, mm-hmm. you look at 12. It says, "In those days when you pray, I will listen."
Yeah.
So I've heard a lot of people say, yeah. Jeremiah 29:11. Yeah, God has a plan for me.
Yep.
Well, if you're not praying, He won't listen to you.
And what do I need to do to pray? Before I start talking to God, because sometimes you talk to God, you better humble yourself. I need to talk to God because I need God in this situation too. I need to repent of what I wanted to do, and now I need to put my hope in Him. So I'm coming to Him to pray. So you don't pray no crazy prayers. God, I know what you said, but it's already been 3 days, and I'm tired of walking. And in 3 days, you rose from the dead or whatever. So now it's only been 3 days, so I'm going to rise up and go on and take the city. And then you're going to get a rock thrown on your head because it ain't time yet. So let's just keep on going. See, I got this bump on my forehead right now. People got a lump on their heads right now because I ain't waiting on the Lord. All right, come on, let's go. All right.
I was going to say, you know, we go back to when we studied Saul.
Yeah.
He took matters into his own hands.
Oh, my God. Just wait on God.
He lost his whole kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to take my shoe off at the airport right now because Sarah didn't want to wait.
That's right.
I got to take my shoe off at the airport right now because Sarah didn't wait.
Because
she brought in her maid. And then her husband slept with the maid. And then Ishmael came out of that. And Ishmael is the father of the Arab nation. And the Arab nation, the terrorists or whatever, got what is it, ASA or APA or whatever you call it. You know, airline. And all of a sudden I got to take my shoes off to get on an airplane because of Sarah. Because she didn't wait on the Lord. Amen. Now, shoot. You know what I mean? Now I gotta make sure I ain't got holes in my socks. I gotta make sure. All because of Sarah didn't wait.
Wait on the Lord to renew their strength.
Yeah.
And will not be ashamed.
Absolutely. And if you wait on the Lord, you can be holy. And bring your holy socks out there.
There we go.
All right.
I was thinking about when you just said that, I was thinking about the verse in 2 Peter that says, to self-control, add perseverance, and to perseverance, add godliness. You just said if you wait on the Lord, you can be holy. So it's like we have to persevere. We have to learn to wait. We have to use our self-control. And then after that, we gain that level of godliness and holiness. So I just love what you're talking about, making it Sunday to Sunday.
Oh, yeah. And I make it Sunday to Sunday but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not relying on my own strength. I'm surrendering every day and saying, God, you got this. God, you got this. God, here's my problem. Here's my challenge. God, I know you got this, but I'm sure waiting. God, won't you touch this person's heart or whatever? Well, it's been a while. Maybe I need to talk to him first. Just give it to God until he tells you in the spirit to move. Put yourself in a position for God to work. When you've done all that you can do by faith, he shows up. Well, how come he ain't showed up yet? Because maybe you ain't in position. Maybe you still trying to drive. Somebody said, God is my co-pilot. I used to see them little bumper stickers. God's my co-pilot. God ain't my co-pilot. That's the problem when I'm a co-pilot. That means he's making suggestions. He better be my pilot. Yeah, I need to co-pilot. What the heck is a co-pilot? I think you need to go in this direction. Nah, Lord, let's go over here. And God's like, go. Alright, what are you gonna say, Ken?
God don't have to show up. He's already there.
Yeah, he's waiting. Well, okay, so let's give a verse for that. Behold, I stand at the door and just kind of hang out, waiting for you to open it up. No, I'm knocking.
Yep.
Someone's knocking at your door. Somebody's ringing a bell. I know it ain't gospel, whatever. And let him in.
My key verse this morning, I was studying, was Psalm 40.
Okay.
I waited patiently on the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud,
out of miry clay.
My feet on a rock.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait a minute. Here you go. While you're waiting, what are you doing while you're waiting?
You're not sitting still.
No, you better
have
be.
To get in position. Get in position.
I get in position by humbling myself and obeying and actively obeying the word of God. Every day for 6 days, what do they got to do when they wake up in the morning? Obey the Lord. Because what did God just give them? I got it highlighted in my notes here. God gives them instructions and a word to show them what to do in order to have victory. Does God give you right now and I today a word in order for us to have victory? Yes, he does. If you don't know what that word is, just look at the ministry and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pick up your cross and humble yourself. Oh, wait a minute. Just pray. He told you how to pray. Our Father. Whose Father? Our Father. Which means we the child. Listen to what Daddy says. Who art in heaven? Where is he at? In heaven. Which means he sees better than what we see. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not my will. I know what I want. I want it now. I want it microwave. I want it to happen this way. I want the walls to fall down like this. I want the wall to fall to the east side, blown off to the west side or whatever, so that way I can get over there and get, you know, no. Not my will, but your will be done on earth and in my life.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need in order to make it through. Because I'm trusting in you. Forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. Now I'm ready. Now that I got my relationship with you, I'm ready to deal with them people on the other side of that wall. Forgive them, because I used to be in the wall with them too. Now I can execute mercy. So when I go to work and I'm walking around the wall and I'm trying to get them to come see the living God, I ain't talking about them like, you know, because I had to be forgiven too, because I was once on the wall as well. Lead us not into, what's the temptation? To stop doing what you're doing right now. To stop obeying. Deliver us from, because I don't care how mature you are, evil will still try to pop up to keep you from where God wants you to go. Come on now. You know where they are in the Lord's Prayer? They're right here at the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Knock down this wall so we can get to, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we get to share in the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But we got to knock down Jericho first. Excuse me, I just said that wrong. We got to let him knock down Jericho first by being obedient and standing on the promises.
We're looking at this as an individual and a total. helping me out a lot because I have a lot of personal walls of Jericho that I'm trying to bring down because those walls are keeping me from being more intimate with Him.
Amen.
But I also think that God's using this for Christians as a whole, that Christians need to start marching in this fashion. We need to be visible. We need to stand apart. We need to follow His instructions. He doesn't want us to be invisible. He doesn't want us to be hiding.
I like what you're saying. Oh my goodness, that's good. I don't have that.
As a Christian body,
yeah.
As His followers, He wanted us to set ourselves apart to be visible to those that are not following His way, because His time is coming, and we need to be visible as a whole, not just individually, but we need to be as a whole, be visible, because that's the days that we're living in. We're becoming invisible.
That's a good word. Here's the challenge. As we march for Jesus, Christian soldiers. Man, y'all messing up my doggone notes. As we march for Jesus as Christian soldiers. So this is a good stopping off point for us. And I see we didn't get too far, but that's okay. And I won't be here in person. At least I don't think I'll be here in person next week. I'll be at Kingdom Seekers, but we'll get all this. And please comment when I'm out. I like this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this piece. I just had to add this to my notes here, and I'm going to save this. Because we do have to get together. We do have to march. We do have to make ourselves visible. I didn't even think about this. God bless you. I didn't even think about this. God has them become visible to the unbelievers. But here's the thing. We just said that marching is a good thing. But even in our own country, if you march and you march the wrong way, you can be trying to do a good thing the wrong way.
Exactly. March in love.
And as we look at this next week, if Jesus tarries, we need to take note, perhaps, of the formation and the structure that God gives them in conducting their march.
I was just fixing to say, I love how specific God's instructions were here.
Because, again, I'm crazy enough to think, if I do what God's people do, then I may get what they got.
Yes.
I know we've seen this story before. I don't know if I've ever really looked at this story from the perspective of, so what does all this mean for me today? This is me today. I want my victory. I want what's blocking me and keeping me from God's best in my relationship, in my job, in my walk, in my ministry, to fall down.
In our city, in our state.
And if you want to go there, if you want to go there, I mean, there's so much crime, there's so much stuff going around.
In the church.
Well, let's say go with the church, yeah. Because let me go on and turn this thing. Yes. I'm getting ready to preach at a place right now, and I'm like, you know what? But the church is dwindling, it's dying. I'm like, you know what? You got to come together. How do we do that? We got to be visible. We can't hide. Because the world, let's get a New Testament scripture to go with this. Let your
light
so shine among
men
that they may see your
good works
and
glorify your Father in heaven.
God bless you.
And in Acts 3, John and Peter went together
to the temple
and healed the man on the way.
Right. And then after it happened, they went back and told the other companions, told the others, and they prayed.
So many examples.
So I'm going to
write. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they didn't do it themselves.
Okay, now I got to figure out how to spell Jericho again.
Jericho.
Jericho.
Spell check.
Oh, yeah, let me just do a space. All right, okay. Got it.
Spell it like it sounds. Say it like it sounds.
Yeah, okay. All right. So now you guys have just jacked up my notes, you know.
Well, you can fix
them. Yeah, so we're good. All right. So we're going to leave off at verse 6. Oh, let me do this for you before you go. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and they blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests. I'm just going to stop right there. So we're going to stop at verse 8. Now, notice something. Oh, wait a minute. And verse 10. Oh, whatever. All right, I'm just going to read the whole thing. All right. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. Verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. Okay. Let's stop right there. We'll pick up. Al, make a note, please. No. Well, I need to go back and clean up some stuff. We will pick up at verse 8, which is the number of new beginnings. So make a note. We'll pick up at verse 8 next week. But I want you to hear something. Did you notice that Joshua did not give them all the instructions? He only gives them what to do for that day. And maybe for the 6 days. Why does he not give them day 7? Why does he not tell them that they're going to march around the city 7 times on the 7th day? I mean, I'm just asking the question just in general. I don't know the answer necessarily.
He doesn't want them to do it before the time.
If you told me, then I'm going to want to speed it up and do it on. I want to do day 7. Hey, why can't we march 7 times? I'm fresh today. I'm feeling like I'm just do it 7 times today. All right. What's another reason?
Test the faith.
Oh my God! I just walked one day. Now you're telling me I got to do 7 on the 7th day? I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'm in for all that. Or here's another one. And you have a need to know. God will give you a rhema word, and he'll give you the word for what you need right there that day. If you don't know what's supposed to happen tomorrow, just know what's supposed to happen today. Why would he give you the whole thing if you ain't going to do the right now thing? Do the right now thing, and then he'll bless you with more instructions. That you go, well, what's going to happen when I get over there? Get over there, and then he'll tell you what to do. He ain't going to tell you what to do if you don't get there first. Woo, before you learn how to swim. All right, anyway, that's it. We're going to leave off at what verse, Al?
Amen.
Amen. You pass.